all, I want to thank you guys for joining us on this wonderful Saturday morning. This is Vance Rogers, your host for the Saturday morning conference call. And I know there's a lot of other things that you could be doing on a beautiful day like this. Some of you are in parts of the country where you're still getting snow. Here in the Northwest, we don't have any rain, and it's been into the 70s already this week. So we're loving life to its fullest. Lots of activity bustling about. And that's pretty reflective of what's taking place in Nikken right now. There are several dozen people over in Japan with a special, I don't know if you want to call it a liaison group, but several Royal Diamonds that are meeting with our CEO, Kendall Cho, and then also with several of the Watanabe team winners that are touring the Jade Greens plant, as well as a lot of other things they're checking out. And then as well, looking at all the new products that were going to be unveiled to us here in a couple of weeks. So, but aside from that, this morning we have Dr. Bob Purdy with us. And I would have put in the email that he's his background is a podiatrist, but I couldn't find out how to spell that. And I even dug through my old Nikken magazines, and I couldn't find one that had an article on you. So it's my fault on that. But Bob, share with us, how in the world does somebody who's in the medical field, and your home is in Akron, Ohio, I believe, but how
live in Canton.
You're living
20
in
miles south.
Okay. Now, were you in that area when you were introduced to Nikken?
No, in fact, I practiced in Toledo for 30 years.
Okay, so you practice at the infamous Toledo Hospital, which I've been to many a time. It's a beautiful facility.
Yeah, it is.
And how does one who's looking at feet for a profession get into Nikken? What was the connection there?
Well, it was sort of an interesting one, because if I hadn't got a phone call from Stan Bogus, who most of you know, Dr. Stan Bogus, who's an old friend. At that point, I'd known him for 35 years. I wouldn't probably even know about Nikken, and I probably would have been as resistant to it as 99% of the rest of the physicians in the country, simply because I was ignorant of all of the benefits and the whole field of energy approaches to health and wellness and even disease. So, anywho, Stan called me one day and related his story about suffering for 12 to 15 years with increasingly painful back problems and neck problems, to the point where he would get bolts of pain through his... are we all distributors here? I can use...
Yeah, just say it like you would. I don't think at this stage in the game it makes any difference anymore.
Well, we're not claiming anything, so I can just relate what he felt.
Sure, you're
so anyway,
telling the stories.
Yeah, these debilitating bolts of pain through his back, his rib cage, and sometimes in his neck, to the point where he really didn't know when these were going to happen. And, you know, if you're in the middle of surgery and this happens, it's not a good thing. And he was starting
Well, at least not for the person that you're working on.
No. One slice and their toes are laying on the floor. So, and then it progressed until he was losing feeling in his hands, and he was dropping instruments. So, even though he had been trying to treat himself, which is never a good thing for a physician to do, he ended up going to one of the top medical centers in the world in Cleveland, and he was an outpatient there for 2 years, and during the 2 years, he saw 28 different specialists. They bounced him all over the place. And at the end of 2 years, he was walking down the hall with the head of rheumatology, and he said, "Stan, we've done everything we know to do. The best thing to do would just be go on disability." And so Stan was prepared to do that, and actually had sold his practice because he really couldn't take care of it, and so was basically going to start shopping for a wheelchair. So at that time, he got a phone call from Dr. Bill Lampard, who's also a Diamond, along with Stan and myself. Not at that time, of course. So Bill called him simply because he was contacting physicians in his area, which was northwestern New York State, which is he'd seen with his patients using Niken's magnetic products. Because back then, that's about all we had. And Stan was, cordial but skeptical. Because, you know, once you've been to a leading medical center for 2 years with no relief, you know, you say, what else could help you? And he's also been to New York at some top medical centers there, and they couldn't help him either. But
And Stan had a podiatry practice.
Yes, he was
as well.
Podiatrist, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, he was a podiatrist as well. And so Bill was insistent. He said, look, you don't have anything to lose. I'll give you some a mattress pad and a pillow to try. And Stan didn't like the pillow, so he didn't use it right then. It was the old hard, brick-hard pillow. And overnight, he got more relief than he'd gotten in the last 12 years. In fact, before, he could only sleep for an hour at a time because then the pain would wake him up and he'd have to turn over and try to get back to sleep. So this went on year after year. And he said his health was deteriorating. He had no energy. He really got to the point where he told his staff, because he had gone back. Oh, no, he was still going in as a advisory capacity. He said, if I fall on the floor and, it looks like I'm not going to live, don't call 911. I don't want to live anymore. So from that point on, he started to get better. He started using the minis on his wrists, and he had harnesses made so that the minis would go across his shoulders, up his neck, and down his spine. And at one point, he was wearing 55 minis.
Wow.
So as most of you know, the Gauss rating does not accumulate. There's no cumulative effect. So whether you have one mini on or 55, you're still getting the Gauss level of one mini. So you can use all you want. There's no overdosages. So Stan continued to improve, and to the point where he was really quite functional. He really wasn't having all that much problem. So he started calling his colleagues, most of which sort of laughed it off. But when he called me, I knew that Stan was such a believable, honest, decent guy that he didn't call me up to scam me or try to sell me a bunch of stuff. I was immediately interested. I said, Stan, if you say this works, I have to see it. And so he brought all the products they had at that time over to my office in Toledo. I mean, that's a kind of a trek to go over to Toledo. And gave me a rollout. And I looked over the products. And I remember buying $1,500 worth of products. Stan tells me later I bought $4,500. I don't know why $4,500. If I had done that, he should have told me, well, $500 more, you could be an executive. But anyway, Stan is a great guy. He's a great podiatrist, but he's not the greatest salesman in the world.
Now, Bob, were you looking for something at the point, or were you dealing with any major physical?
Interesting. No, I didn't have any physical problems. However, I'd always had in the back of my mind, I would love to get into a business that gave me more freedom. Because, you know, when you're a physician, you're either stuck in the office or you're at the hospital. You're not just driving around town having a good time. You're on a schedule. You have a certain parameters in which you can function. You have to look a certain way, act a certain way. It's quite restrictive. So I always had these daydreams of maybe sometime or other in the future I could have a business like that, because I'd known business people, you know, friends of mine, who had businesses that got them out of the office. They'd run around town, talk to people. I always thought,
so in the medical profession, you're nothing more than a highly paid hourly worker.
Well, it's not even hourly. You're a piece worker. You know, it's like making shirts in a factory. You know, I mean, you're highly paid, but you treat a patient, you get a fee, and then you see the next patient. And then the next and the next. And if anything happens to you where you can't go in the office, your income stops immediately. Your overhead keeps going on. But you're not paid next week for the work you did last week. I mean, it doesn't keep going on and on and on.
There's no residual.
No residual whatsoever. So when Stan explained this to me, and I'd had a little bit of a light experience with network marketing. My wife wanted something to do, so she got into Herbalife, and I was really impressed with her products. Of course, they had some internal problems there that kind of almost sunk them for a while. I guess they've bounced back pretty well. But anyway, so I knew the concept, and it was very exciting. So when Stan told me that, you know, the potential for this, I really got excited. And then I started to see what the products could do with my patients. And the things I saw were just jaw-dropping, you know. We had, and they still are, the we have family practice residents come through our office as part of their training. And I would take them aside and I say, look, I'm going to go in, see this patient, and if I start spinning balls over them or doing something else, just don't laugh, just watch. You know? And they would come out of the room and say, I don't believe what I saw. I said, I know. Pretty cool, isn't it? and it was fun. You know, I mean, using these products is fun. Some woman, I was on a call one time, and this lady said, you know, this is so satisfying and so much fun. I would do this if it was charity work.
Wow.
You know?
Yep.
And I thought, that's a great endorsement for the products and the business.
So here you are spinning Magboys over people.
Spinning Magboys.
Products.
Yeah.
And how long did that last before you realized that, well, maybe I should take a different turn here?
Well, it lasted about a week. Because what happened is... I'm a right brain doctor, very rare. So I'd just gotten the Magboy, and I can't recall ever using it until an OB-GYN friend of mine at practice down the hall comes hopping in the office on one foot, carrying a shoe and sock because he can't even touch the ground with the other one. And he goes up to the front desk, and he says, I have to see Bob, I have to see him now. I have an office full of women over there, and they're waiting for me, and I can't walk. So they get him into a room, and I walked in the room. I took one look at his foot, and I knew he had acute gout in his first big toe joint because it was red as a beet. You couldn't touch it with a feather. So he's sweating bullets because he thinks I'm going to aspirate the darn thing and, you know, looking for uric acid crystals. So I said, look, let me try some. I've never done it before. And it looks like a toy, but my friend in Pennsylvania says it works for things like this. So it didn't have a needle on the end of it, so he said, sure, give it a try. So I looked at my watch. I started spinning it over his foot, about 3 inches away from his foot. And after 2 minutes, nothing was happening. So I said, well, as soon as this man leaves the office, I'm calling Stan Bogus and telling him what I think of him, you know. But in the next 2 minutes, I saw that redness, the swelling, and his pain went from excruciating and acute to nothing. The red turned to pink, turned to normal skin color. The swelling went down so fast, the skin was wrinkled, and the excruciating pain was gone to the point where he got out of the chair and started stomping his foot on the floor. And I'm sitting there, you know, flabbergasted, think, what is this? I didn't touch the man. It's not placebo effect because I'm a doctor, he's a doctor. I can't fool him. So what happened here? Something went from the Magboy into his foot that caused this problem to disappear in front of my eyes. I still had gout. He needed to see his internist. He said he would do, which I doubt he did. But, you know, doctors don't see doctors. You know, most physicians don't have a physician.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the ones that are, I think the ones that are the biggest offenders are internists. You know, they don't have a doctor, they treat themselves. But that's another story.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Anyway, I said, my God, you know, there's something here. And the more I used the products, the more incredible they were. I mean, the next patient came in, he had a stress fracture in his metatarsal. That's where, you know, you step off a curb or you step on something, it pushes up in one of the long bones of the foot, the metatarsal, will crack. it doesn't really break in two pieces and become displaced, but it cracks.
Sure.
And it's painful. Mm-hmm. And usually, if you splint it, it takes about 8 weeks to heal. So I put a mini over the fracture site, and he came in 2 weeks. I took an x-ray, and I saw this bone callus around the fracture site. Now, that's what you want to see, because that means the bone is healing. 2 weeks later, I x-rayed his foot, and it was healed.
So now, it normally would take 8 weeks.
8 weeks to
half
weeks.
The time.
Yeah. What's going on here? This is unbelievable. You know. So, thing after, you know, diagnosis after diagnosis after diagnosis, things got better faster. Things healed up that weren't healing. After 18 months, I was at my 30-year mark in practice, and I thought, well, do I keep slogging along in Western medicine, which I see is starting to fall apart at the seams here with all the restrictions and payments and all of the third-party encroachment and everything, and because practice wasn't becoming fun anymore? Or can I be a pioneer in a whole new field? And I chose to be a pioneer. And I found out later that I was one of a handful of doctors of any persuasion who were using the products clinically. I didn't know it, and I wouldn't have cared if I did know it. You know, and people say, well, gee, how do you introduce these to patients? Well, you hand them to them. Here it is. I want you to use this. If it hasn't helped you, give it back, and I'll give you your money back. Mm-hmm. What could be fairer than that? You know?
Sure.
And that's how it worked. And I would say out of 100 people, maybe 3 said they didn't want it. And then I maybe had 5% would bring it back, but most of those hadn't used it. It was still in the package.
Wow.
So, you know, what? There is no medication on the market with that success rate.
Mm-hmm.
Any. Never has been, never will be.
And your situation, being even as a medical professional, is not any different than any of the rest of us that have a variety of different occupational backgrounds, in the sense that what you did was not the backup what you were doing with a bunch of medical terminology or evidence. You just simply, as a friend to a friend, or a professional to a client, said, just use this. Check it out.
Well, see,
you got nothing to lose.
Yeah. See, the magnet doesn't know who you are.
There is not prejudice.
You
can
get a brain surgery at the Mayo Clinic, or you can sweep the streets. The magnet does what it's going to do. It doesn't care who put it on a foot, a head, an elbow. It doesn't care. And it works the same every single time. You can't say that for a drug.
Mm.
But you can say it for this, because we're dealing with the laws of physics. And, the proof of that is that when you use a magnetic product, nobody has allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing the same thing every time. Now, will people react to it differently? Yes. The healthier you are, the faster it's going to work. So if you're smoking 3 packs a day and down on a quart of gin, it's not going to work too well, because your body is so toxic that it's almost more than it can handle. And you're dehydrated along with it, so don't blame the magnet. But you can take an aspirin tablet and drop dead. If mm-hmm. if your body is such that you have a strong allergy to acetylsalicylic acid, that's not good. And a lot of people die every year from taking aspirin. Mm-hmm. And we think aspirin is just, safe, and you can take it for about anything, but no drug is safe. And every drug is a poison, because if you take enough of it, it'll kill you. I don't care what it is. Having said that, now let me. Having said that, many of us are alive today and will be alive much longer than our ancestors because of pharmaceuticals. But they're not the panacea, and you can't medicate people to health. You can get rid of their disease or treat the symptoms, But you're not going to make them healthy by having them take drugs. You can handle, you know, because doctors are trained to do two things. They're trained to diagnose your illness and treat your symptoms. Unless you have an infection, then, you know, antibiotics will kill the infection. But basically, we treat symptoms in medicine. Unless you go in and fix something surgically, you know, you had a, you know, a hip joint out of place, or your intestines were all twisted up. That's another story. But as far as illness goes, we basically are trained to treat symptoms. And the drug industry, I might add, has drugs to treat your symptoms. And I always challenge everybody, name a disease that has been cured in the last 50 years. And almost everybody says polio. You know? I mean, if you have polio, you got polio. There's no cure for it. There's a vaccine for it to prevent it, but there's no cure for it. So modern medicine, quote-unquote, has really not cured anything. You know, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, neurological problems. It hasn't cured anything. It's treated symptoms. That's not all bad, but the thing I like about Neacan is that it helps the body to help itself. And sometimes we have to treat symptoms. You know, you have something that's never going to get any better, fine. We can help you live a better life, be more comfortable, be more flexible. And that's that got me excited, too.
Now, Bob, in the last, so it's been, what, 10, 11, 12
11 years?
11 years have been associated with Neacan.
Right.
Now, you, at that 30-year in your professional career, you decided to make a transition.
Right.
What has that been like in looking back and to, I guess, compare and contrast that 11 years with Neacan versus, you know, 30 years in, as a Western doctor?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when I get up in the morning, I don't have to go anyplace if I don't want to. Number two, my income is not dependent on my efforts alone. J. Paul Getty, at one time the wealthiest man in the world, said, I would rather have 1% of the efforts of 100 people than 100% of my own efforts alone.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been in network marketing. It was, it'd been great. So, you know, so I'm leveraging myself through other people without exploiting them, which is great. And I can't be successful unless I help other people become successful.
Exactly.
You know, that is the fairest and most equitable way to do business. Not to have fat cats at the top of the corporation getting bonuses while the company is going down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, laying off thousands and thousands of people and giving themselves a raise. That's the pyramid. Ours is not a pyramid. It's not an upright pyramid. It's an upside down pyramid.
Sure.
Everybody goes in a tip at the bottom. We cut the tip off there so people can get in. They go through the tip, and then everybody helps them, even people that have no financial will have no financial gain, will help them get to the top. And the job of everybody is to get to the top. And there's no restriction on how many people can get to the top. The old thing, well, you know, network marketing is a few people at the top got in early and they make all the money. Well, that's baloney. Very few people really understand network marketing. And most of the people in network marketing don't understand network marketing. Because if they did, they would never quit.
Sure.
You show me somebody who just quit, you set them down, and you tell them to explain network marketing, I guarantee you they don't know how to do it.
Yeah, you said your wife had been associated with Herbalife before, but other than that, you had no experience in this industry.
No, that was a previous wife. It's not Karen.
Okay.
Not really. Not getting into my, you know, stepping way into it. I was just
right.
Kind of nibbling around the edge.
Okay, so this was all a totally new arena. Obviously, you didn't learn anything about network marketing back in college and studying to be a doctor. Now, to switch gears, I know that there are several hundred medical excuse me, practitioners that are part of NECN's, I believe they're calling it the medical advisory panel or something of that sort.
Yes, they're taking in not only physicians, but physical therapists, massage therapists, anybody who's a hands-on person in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmacists.
And the goal of that, what NECN's bringing them on board, basically just to get the list for what's the purpose behind that?
I think they want a pool of people to choose from where they can have, select a panel so they can get feedback about how NECN's products can address more of the physical issues that are out there.
Okay.
And also offer suggestions about what new products do we need. I mean, what's an underserved area in healthcare?
Mm-hmm.
I think just to pull one out of my hat, I think children's nutritional would be
sure.
a good example. You know, how many kids are out there eating, Flintstones, vitamins? I don't know what's in Flintstones.
I can tell you, but I don't think people on the call would want to really know.
I'm not saying they're bad, but I'll come up with something better.
I'll say that they're bad.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with saying that they're bad.
We can have Vance Rogers chewable vitamins.
There we go.
Those would go over.
There we go. You know, and that's one of the neat things about what NECN does have in the nutritional arena is we're making that transition to a whole foods type of nutritionals. And, my kids, my youngest just doesn't know any difference because she thinks the immunity or mushroom formula is called mushroom candy, and so she just chews them up, which is absolutely disgusting as far as I'm concerned. And the
jade. I've never tried that. Are they good?
Well, no, I at time to time, when I feel a cold coming on, I'll dump it underneath my tongue, but that's as far as I'll go.
Oh, okay.
But I just toss one in her mouth, and she just is just happy as a clam. But I know NECN is going that direction. I know in the next few months we're going to see some neat things in that arena. You said something earlier about being a pioneer, and I'm curious in your opinion, Bob, as far as where the technology is transitioning from passive magnetics, for example, or passive far infrared, for that matter, or passive water, into more of a realm of an active. The transition from the mag steps to the biaxial body energizer. Where do you see that going?
I don't think the mag steps will ever be out of fashion. I think they have a specific purpose to serve because we're going to have a deluge of diabetic patients in the future. No question about it. So anything we can do to stave off foot problems, serious foot problems, loss of feet, loss of limbs, is going to be great. So we have the mag steps and the body energizer. Now, body energizer does to the body what the mag steps do to the feet.
Mm.
And I'm sure you've heard and I've heard and seen just incredible benefits with the body energizer. I mean, people who walk around with a walker sit down and half an hour later they get up and walk across the room
mm-hmm.
without their walker. Now, if you told somebody that, they'd laugh at you.
I'm one of those people that every single day that every single time that I go work outside or I go do something extracurricular with either one of my daughters, I feel it because of, a year-old hernia operation. That it just plain hurts. But give me 5 minutes on that body energizer, and I'm good to go. I know that last week I flew from Portland, got up early, flew all the way to Kansas City, then jumped in a car and drove 3 hours to Wichita, Kansas. And that night I'm doing a wellness preview, and at the end of the preview, I said, I need to sit down and use that thing for a few minutes because I've been on my feet basically all day and galvanizing around. And within just 5 minutes, I mean, literally can feel all of that agony. Just completely dissipate, and there's nothing else I can do for it. And the doctor who's, the surgeon who operated on me said, there's nothing you can do for it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that he knows of.
Yeah. But I love your comparison. What you said that what the mag steps do for the feet is what the body energizer does for the entire body.
Right.
And
because it's working with the magnetic charge on the cells, because every cell has a positive and negative charge on it, and everything that goes on in the body is affected by these energy that travels from cell to cell to cell.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that goes back to Eastern medicine with chi and the meridians and that sort of thing. So I don't think we really understand what we're doing with some of these products. We know they work, we know they're safe. I'm sure some people a lot smarter than we are could give us a lot of very heavy scientific data that would put us to sleep, but suffice to say they work.
Sure.
And the market for these products is phenomenal.
Bob, I'd like to open it up for a little bit of Q&A, but before I do that, what one word of advice would you have to a non-medical person like myself in approaching people in your community? What would be the best angle? I know, for example, the World Chiropractic Federation just endorsed our sleep system. So walking into a chiropractor's office, what would be, in your opinion, what would be the best way to do that, to make it the most successful?
Well, I can tell you this, that if you're just a normal person and you walk into a chiropractor's office, any doctor's office, you're going to get the door slammed in your face for a number of reasons. One, they don't know who you are. Two, you're telling them about something they know nothing about. Three, you're not coming from a company. You're not representing a company they've ever heard of. And four, they just always have their hackles up. They have so many people trying to sell them everything and get them to spend money. They got stocks and bond salesmen after them to invest in this. So they really have their guard up. So I think the best approach would be to put together a packet, a cover letter with a packet with the printout of the endorsement from the World Chiropractic or World Federation of Chiropractic, and some literature on Niken's products. Whatever you can find that you like from one of the vendors that has to do with energy forces within the body, because they understand that. Leave it off with the desk person with your card in there, and just in your letter say, "Doctor, I really appreciate you looking over this information. I will give you a call in a week to get your opinion." And you're going to call back. Either they'll talk to you or they won't, or they'll get on the phone and say, "That was nice, but I'm not interested." More often than not, if they're not interested, the receptionist will say, "He wants me to tell you he's not interested." I was like, I want to say, I mean, he's not man enough to come to the phone himself and tell me he has to do anyway. So, and look, you're not going to get probably more than 2 in 25 if you're lucky.
Wow.
But that's all right. You can get 2 in 25, that's great. Now, having said all that, I always tell wellness consultants, why beat your head against the wall trying to go through all of the hurdles, physical and scientific, to get to this Dr. So-and-so, when you can talk to, I love the term that Roger Booger has, Joe Bag of Donuts, just the average guy or woman who has none of this, none of these barriers up, and just talk to them. "Hey, how you doing? Got anything that hurts? Anybody in your family hurting?" "Oh, yeah, they'll tell you all about it. How things at work? I hate it, blah, 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 I'm not making enough money." So, bang, you got somebody to talk to immediately. Why go banging on doctors' doors when 99% of the time they're going to throw you out in the street? Why have all this discouragement and rejection? We go out and talk to regular people, because doctors will change, when their patients demand it.
Mm.
You know? So you have to start, you know, if you want to start a fire, you put it down at the bottom. So that's when you have to start. The doctor's at the top of the heap in this illustration. So get the fire burning. Pretty soon they're going to feel the heat, and they're going to have to deal with it. And the other reason they'll reject you is they don't know anything about it. It kind of scares them, and they don't have time in their mind to go and start learning new stuff. It took them, you know, 12, 15 years to learn what they know, and it's making them a living, so why do I need to learn anything else?
Sure.
And the other thing is, my colleagues will think I'm nuts. You know, I had three partners. They thought I was crazy. And the only reason I think I got to do treat patients in the office is, hey, I started this practice. So I'm going to do it. I'll be very discreet. You won't even know I'm doing it. And you know what I did to neutralize any supposed waves in the medical community? I would send a cover letter after I saw the patient in my report to the doctor. I would say, in lieu of a cortisone injection, I'm going to be using a bipolar static magnetic field magnet, which has been shown all over the world to be very effective and has no mm-hmm. side effects. I didn't get one peep of anybody, except like a couple of phone calls. They said, this is interesting. Tell me more about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was proactive. I didn't want the patient to go back to the doctor and say, well, what did you do for your foot? Oh, he gave me a magnet. A magnet? What are you talking about? So they've already heard about it. I've already explained it to them. So that's how I dealt with doctors. But don't waste your time with doctors. Trust me. I've tried for 11 years. People I know think I'm crazy. But that's okay. I'll have the last laugh.
Sure.
You know?
And
have fun with the people who think you're crazy.
Right. And I would guess that in the arena of freedom, that you've been able to have a lot more fun doing this than you ever did.
I go back to the office, and now they have five guys in there. You know, I don't want to be vulgar, but they're walking around with their butts dragging on the floor. I mean, the free decor is not what it was when I used to be in there. I mean, because the pressure's on them from the third-party payers and Medicare. I mean, they're making more money now selling shoes out of their office than anything else.
Wow.
Medicare diabetic shoes. That's big business now. So enough
amazing.
Of that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let me open up the line here, Bob, and what I'll have to do is I'll you know, open it up, let somebody ask you a question, then I'll have to mute it again.
Vance, I just have a question. Yeah. What was the statement that he used in his letter to doctors? What did he call it?
Bob, what did you address it to when you talked about the magnets? You called it a bipolar...
Oh, bipolar static magnetic field magnet.
Bipolar
means that the positive and negative poles are on one side of the magnet, basically. They're lined up side to side rather than end to end. You know, the old-fashioned magnets, you had positive on one end, negative on the other. But this, you have a grid that has positive and negative poles right next to each other in a grid. Static means that it's not electrically charged. It's not like an electromagnetic field. It's a static magnetic field.
Okay, so bipolar, static...
Static magnetic field.
Magnetic field, magnet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, I found out that if you say something the doctors don't understand, they say, oh, okay, that's great. You know, we're stupid.
So you were wowing them with your...
Yeah, wowing them with my knowledge. Yeah.
Sure, okay.
This is John in Washington State. I wonder if you have a few words of wisdom for folks in the medical field that maybe haven't eaten of the royal jelly, don't own their own practice, or are in a circumstance where they can see the value of these technologies, but they're under constraints and are told this would be a conflict of interest, but they'd like to do something with what they now know about these products that are safe and effective.
I think you understood John O'Brien's question as far as how do you talk to a doctor? How do you address that situation where they feel like there's a conflict of interest or they're under certain constraints?
Well, the best thing to do is ask them, what do you mean by conflict of interest? They'll say, well, I just don't feel comfortable making a profit dispensing these products. I say, well, you know, that's interesting, because when I came in the front door, I didn't see the sign charity clinic or nonprofit organization. I assume that every service you provide has a profit margin. Otherwise, you couldn't stay in business and you couldn't feed your family. Well, yeah, but I said, well, all right, what makes this different? Well, I think, you know, because I get a commission back from the company. I said, well, you can prevent that. Just sell them at your cost. And then if you get any check, give it to your church or give it to charity. But there's no conflict of interest here. And I say, here's how I dealt with it. You dispense the product. You put it on their bill. They use it for the time that you prescribe. If it hasn't helped them, they give it back. You give them their money back. How can there be a conflict of interest there? There isn't, you know, that you have to point that out to. So,
you know, and I think what's interesting about that is I continually get people asking that same question. How do I approach this doctor, or what should I say? They're really kind of apprehensive, or they're dragging their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly what, you know, the comments that have been made is, you know, let them sink, you know, stock wise, and said, let them go down with the ship. I believe that, you know, 30 years ago, 30, 35 years ago, where the chiropractic industry, whereas the rest of the medical community just laughed at them as quacks, and look at them now.
Yeah, sure.
And how that we, in anything, when it comes to technology, I met a couple last week that said, you know, I was really apprehensive when I was first approached to Nikan, because I just said, oh, this is a joke, this isn't going anywhere. And she said, and I kind of felt the same way about the internet too. And I said, oh yeah, and that thing tanks right off the bat, didn't it?
Oh yeah, sure.
You know? But you know, technology is always going to be presenting us with new and creative ways to do what we're doing, and it's no different than what we have with the technologies that Nikan's bringing to the table. So,
well, let me make two quick comments. One, if you don't want to do something, any excuse will do. Two, in the revelation of any truth, it goes through three stages. Ridicule, and we're pretty much through that. Resistance is where we are now, and we're starting to come out of that. And then the third stage is it's said to be self-evident. So all of these people who are were laughing and now are resisting, when enough people get on the bandwagon, they're all going to say, oh, well, yeah, you know, I knew it was. I knew it was okay, but I was too busy. I was this. I was that. So then they're going to be rushing to jump on the bandwagon, because there will come a day when, if a doctor hasn't offered a magnetic or far infrared product to a patient with a problem, and then they go into medications or surgery without offering this first, they could be guilty of malpractice because they haven't given the patient that choice. That day is, you know, a ways away, but I think it's going to happen. You know, it already is in place, because if I do a surgery on someone and it goes sour, the first thing the judge is going to ask me, or the prosecuting attorney or the plaintiff's attorney, is, what did you offer Mrs. Jones before you offered surgery? Did you offer any conservative care? Or did you use any conservative care? If I say, no, I didn't, well, my ship is sunk, you know. So doctors always have to offer and try conservative therapy first. So I think this is going to be the first thing that they'll be offering, since it's the safest.
Yeah.
But if you want to grow your business quickly, don't call on doctors. Please, I'm begging you. You know, if you're a masochist, you'll enjoy it. But other than that,
oh, that's classic, absolutely classic. Well, Bob, I want to thank you as a one who is part of the pioneers of your industry. You know, what you spent your life doing and studying and then practicing. I want to thank you for the contributions you're making to not only Nikan, but being part of that change, being part of our culture that is making a difference and changing the way we think. And I know that
we just got a huge bright future ahead of us of what's about to take place. I'm terribly excited about what we're going to hear coming back from these people that were in Japan this week. And so, again, thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning, and look forward to seeing you at the next event. And you guys, I can't endorse what Bob said strongly enough. I tried. I've talked, the surgeon that operated on me that flipped me open a year ago. We didn't even get a bunt on that one. And so let's follow the one who knows, and that let's go out and talk to all the rest of the people out there. And then when the masses, are contributing to the informational change, then maybe the people will come on board. So, but we can be grateful that we've got a few. And again, I want to thank you guys for joining us on this call. Thank you again, Dr. Purdy, for taking time out of your schedule.
You're welcome.
Talk to you next Saturday, if not before.